And now, a dramatic reading from Dabo Sweeney and Tyler.
You make $11.5 million a year. That's second in college football, if I'm not mistaken. I'm curious why that salary has led to a 4-4 record. And I know we're going to talk about just being a couple plays away from undefeated and all that. And I know you're a man of religion. I'm a big fan, Coach. Before you categorize me as being in the 1.5%, I was going to Clemson games and my entire family, going back generations, has been going to Clemson games when you're in commercial real estate. So I'm not going to accept being in that 1.5%. And I respect the fact that you're a man of faith, and I'm curious if you've ever read Proverbs 16:18. Which talks about pride come before the fall. I was in the military and I was overseas for the big run, and so I couldn't watch all the games. I tried my best, but I always watched press conferences just for life advice, and I appreciated all that. Something changed after 2018. You're humble, you're hungry and everything, and I always told people, man, Dabo, just listen to his press conferences. But after that 2018 national title, something changed. And there seems to be a lot of arrogance that came in. There were a lot of friends and family. 3 of the 10 on-the-field football coaches are external, experienced hires. And everyone else is an internal hire that had no experience before or was a former player or friend. So I'm curious, why are we paying you $11.5 million to go 4-4? And it's not just this year, it's been, as you know, just the refusal to accept.
Hey, Tyler. I've listened to enough of you, Tyler. Listen, you can have all your opinions that you want. I don't know how old you are, don't really care. But let me tell you something. We won 11 games last year. And you're part of the problem, to be honest with you, because that is part of the problem. It's people like you that all you do. The appreciation, the expectation is greater than the appreciation. And that's the problem. And so we've won 12, 10-plus win seasons in a row. That's happened 3 times in 150 years. So if you want to know why Clemson ain't sniffed a national championship for 35 years, we've won 2 in 7 years. And there's only 2 other teams that can say that, Georgia and Alabama, okay? Is this a bad year? Yeah, and it's my responsibility. Take 100% responsibility for it. But all this bull crap you're thinking, all these narratives you read. Listen, man, you can have your opinion all you want, and you can apply for the job. And good luck to you, all right? But to answer your question, we're second in draft picks. We've graduated 98% of our guys. We're second in wins, all right? If you want to know why, again, I'm telling you, we're not perfect. Did Frank Howard never have a bad year? Coach Ford never have a bad year? Coach K never had a bad year in basketball? People have a bad year. But the part of the problem is the appreciation. I used to tell people all the time. They'd say, what's the difference in Clemson? Let me tell you. At some places, there's an expectation. But at Clemson, there's an appreciation. And what's happened to Clemson is we've won so much that even it used to be the fun's in the winning. Now, even when you win, people like you complain and criticize the coaches and question everything. People like you, when I hired Tony Elliott to be the offensive coordinator who never called a play in his life, I'm sure you were critical then, all right? And he took us to 2 national championships. People like you who just love to destroy people with your comments. I'm sure you've never made any bad decisions. I'm sure you've lived a perfect life. I'm sure you led a bunch of people. I'm sure you do your job. So to answer your question, I started as the lowest paid coach in this frickin' business, all right? And I'm where I am because I've worked my ass off every single day, and I ain't gonna let some smart-ass kid get on this phone and create this stuff. So if you've got a problem with it, I don't care, all right? I work for the board of trustees, the president, and the AD. And if they're tired of me leading this program, all they gotta do is let me know. I'll go somewhere else where there is an appreciation. It's not just winning. It's how you win. This is a tough year. But we've had 12, 10-plus win seasons in a row. 12. We lost to Tennessee last year. They won 11 games for the first time in like 20 years. We've had 8 11-win seasons in 11 years or whatever. We've won 2 national championships. Clemson went 35 years, all right, probably since before you were born your whole freaking life. And we've won 2 in 7 years. And we earned it. And we beat the best of the best to do it. The best of the best. 12 10-plus-win seasons. So if you want to know why, that's why. Am I perfect? No. I'm far from it. And I am a man of faith. Absolutely. All right. I'm 53 years old. And there ain't one thing in my life. I've been part of failure many times. But there ain't one thing in my life that I've ever failed at, Tyler. Never. Ever. I wanted to get an education. I got 2 degrees. I wanted to be the first college graduate in my family. I did it. I wanted to go play football at Alabama. I earned a scholarship letter 3 years, worked my ass off, won a national championship. I wanted to get into coaching. I worked my way into being a head coach. And when I got this job, I'm sure you didn't want me to get this job, all right? And 15 years later, I'm still here. And I say the results are what they are, and I stand on them. So you don't ever have to call back. I wanted to get married. I've been married for going on 30 years. I wanted to be a father. I've raised 3 great sons. If you don't like how I run the program, don't be a fan. I don't care. But I'm the head coach, and I'm going to do what I believe is right for the long term of this program, what's best for the players, and what I think is best for the moment. If you got a problem with that, that's fine. But I'm not going to sit here and let you call. I don't give a crap how much money I make. You ain't going to talk to me like I'm 12 years old. Got to be freaking kidding me.
The rant ended. And the host, Don Munson, just said, "Amen. I like it."
All right.
I have not read that, so sorry about the stumble. I started drooling uncontrollably in the middle of that for some reason.
So did Dabo. What you have heard is a dramatic recreation of Dabo Swinney, coach of the Clemson Tigers football program's answer to caller Tyler from last night's Clemson call-in
Monday
show
night, by the time
Monday night. Yeah. Yes, Monday, October the 30th, pre-Halloween, or I don't know what evangelicals call it. I'm sure it has some name like the Lord's Night.
That would be Trunk or Treats Eve or Fall Fest.
You have Jason here. Why aren't you asking
Harvest
him?
This was waiting for him to come in. So
Harvest
it actually
Party
is Devil's
Eve
Night
or. There, Fall Festive Fall was one I learned about,
mm-hmm.
as in the vol is fall, so Fall Festive Fall Eve.
That's deep.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, that was what Dabo was celebrating. It is not what he was also celebrating was the ability to get one off.
Tyler.
So that's the first thing, Holly, that second Tyler you just delivered, that's exactly how he said it. There's actually
Tyler.
A point where he elongates and he goes, "Tyler."
That man has seen Dixie Carter's monologue against
that is
against Marjorie in the dressing room of the Miss Georgia pageant.
Yeah.
And this may be the only thing we have in common, but he has taken it to heart as a foundational text.
This is very much the night the lights went out in Georgia. Monologue.
At what point do you think everyone involved with this radio show was like, "Oh, he's gonna keep talking."
I would have appreciated the opportunity for a bathroom break, so I think I'm grateful to coach at this time. Just personally.
Yeah. There is so much here. It is what the academics would call a rich text. One where
yeah, it's rich. It makes $11.5 million to go 4-4.
To go 4-4. First of all, I want to salute the fact that we have all of these guys who make $10-11 million a year to coach football, and once a week they have to show up at a sports bar somewhere a half a mile from their office, strap a headset, and talk to guys named Tyler and Pee-wee about why the team ain't doing what they want it to do. That is the best thing in the world. It is so, like, there are a lot of messed up things about the way this sport allocates resources and power, but one of the funniest and most equitable things is that the guys in charge of the football teams have to show up, and any fucking yahoo in the world can pick up a phone and be like, "Hey, I was in my car and I got real mad thinking about losing to Wake Forest." Love it. You could just cut a promo on the dude, and he's got to sit there and go, breathe deep. There's a car dealership at the end of this. Breathe deep. There's a car dealership at the
end
of this.
And he's got to do this. Some of these coaches don't do them in radio studios. Some of them do them, like, live from wing places.
Oh, Nick Saban does it live from a sports bar. Yeah.
I want to make it clear, like, they do this because they want to do it. Like, because if they don't want to do it, it doesn't happen. Chris Peterson at Washington, entirely pre-recorded, no fan interaction whatsoever. Kirby right now, Kirby might be taking calls now, but when Rick was on his way out, had he stayed another year, they were done with the calls. Why do I know this? Because I was working the call-in show when the fan called, and Abraham from Bethlehem asked why we were playing on the beach instead of getting ready for a bowl game.
Abraham
in one of
from
the
Bethlehem,
eight and four
what
seasons.
Would you know about sand?
So, like, they set themselves up for this shit. Like, I don't want to give them – I don't want them to appear – I don't want any pity for them that they have to go out and do these shows. They absolutely choose to do them because all the agents for the ones that don't do it are the agents for the ones that do, and they still decide to go out and do it. Motherfuckers like Dabo. Chris Peterson loves this shit.
Chris Peterson not wanting to do it is the best. Just that they were like, so on the issue of calls, no.
Nope. No.
Like, imagine arguing with Chris Peterson. It's like arguing with a cinder block.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd
be yell like, all you want.
Yeah. I appreciate your opinion. Next call.
That's more than you're getting from the cinder block.
Yeah.
Like, all these guys believe they're incredible at working a room, and they would love nothing more than the chance just to show off that skill.
Well, like, all right, just to give you by contrast, in a year of some difficulty, but definitely not as high a degree of difficulty, okay, and certainly with better outcomes, Nick Saban, when a guy literally named Pee-wee earlier this season called in, all right, a guy who at all times, I guess, during the history of the Nick Saban call-in show has had an issue and brought it directly to Coach Saban through the foghorn of the people's opinion, the call-in show. When Pee-wee was there, he goes, well, hey, Coach, it's Pee-wee. And Nick goes, oh, man, Pee-wee, I'm so glad you called in. We can't block. We can't do any of this stuff.
It was,
it's incredible.
I needed the wisdom of Pee-wee. Thank God it's here. Yeah.
Teach us your ways, Pee-wee.
Saban playing along.
And Saban's doing this in advanced jiu-jitsu because, as Spencer said a minute ago, he does this in a crowded restaurant, so you can't even make faces into the microphone while you're talking. You have to do, you have to perform for a live audience and for a radio audience simultaneously.
My theory, and it's just a theory at this point, is that this wasn't really about Tyler from Spartanburg.
Nope.
You think?
Nope.
This is, and maybe this is the other reason why they do these radio shows. Everything Dabo said is some shit that he can't say to a booster who's also being mean to him behind closed doors.
This
who
is also Godfrey's mantra that whenever a coach is talking to the media, he's talking to his team.
Yes, and in this case, he's talking to the rich people who won't leave him alone about one bad year. And this is what he really wants to say to them. But he can't tell a mega booster, well, don't be a fan. Will you apply for the job? Well, I don't care. Like, you can't say that to the money men. You can say it to faceless Tyler from Spartanburg.
That's the brain genius.
Tyler may have had a face when he started.
That's the giant brain genius angle. And Ryan, I think you're like 60% right.
Okay.
Because, okay.
Ooh. For me, that's a huge win on this show.
No, so. I do, because.
Spencer thinks you're 60% right in something involving interpersonal relations.
You might as well ask Voyager 1, right? Like, yeah, exactly. This thing has the computational power, emotionally speaking, of a TI calculator from 1988. Let's see what it thinks. I think you're mostly right, but there's points at this, like, and Andy Staples, who, like, generally, like, if he's talking about a coach or gets something, he's like, I'm kind of on Team Dabo here. I think, like, I don't know if you have to take sides. You don't have to defend either Tyler or Dabo here. But he did kind of come back after the initial quotes, which were really negative sounding, out of this came through and was like, I'm kind of on Team Dabo because if you hear the whole thing in context, like, there's a lot of valid points. True. Agree. Fully granted. However, there's like 40% of this that's clearly a dude just off his ass. There's clearly 40% of this that is a guy having a real bad time, okay? It's when he goes off the rails and wanders badly, right?
I want to get married. My mom said I was too young.
Because, all right, we are on, like, in total banger territory, okay, in terms of the recitation of the resume and in terms of speaking yes to that booster who he just badly wants to tell to kiss his ass. Dabo said ass here, by the way.
Twice.
That's deeply unchristlike. That is deeply, I think, offended and affected.
I don't know if it's unchristlike. It's undabo-like. The two it's, are
yes,
not
it's undabo's version of christlike. Yes, Jesus said all sorts of mean shit.
This is not flipping over the moneylenders' tables. It's finding somebody outside.
Well, no, why
and
would Dabo
flipping
flip
his table because that. The moneylender is funding yeah. your program?
That
yeah,
I'm here to tell you.
Why would Dabo flip his best friend's tables?
That is what set him off. Mentioning the money twice. He is sensitive
Correct.
About how much money he makes. We have known this for years.
He really does not
he
want
brought
people
this upon
this.
Himself, not by making a lot of money. He makes market value. He's a two-time national champion. But because, you know, it is very easy to read him as completely tone-deaf, the shit he said about athletes getting compensation. Nobody would be stupid enough to not realize how it sounds when he says that while making $11 million a year. And he's been asked about it many, 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 many times, about how much money he makes and how bad it looks for him to say the shit he says. He is fully aware. So, like, his salary is a hot button for him. Like, if you wanted to set him off, this would be the perfect way to do it. I am 1,000% on Team Tyler here. Like he makes that much money, better be perfect. I don't give a shit. Like, if he loses a game, I guess he makes too much money.
That is one thing that touched him off. The other thing that really, like, because he goes through a pretty solid, you know, recitation of the achievements, right? Like, 12 games, 10 plus seasons, 12 years, 10 plus seasons in a row, right? He goes as far as to be like, you know, hey, y'all poors ain't one shit without me. Like, that's literally what he does. He's like...
With the unnecessary shot at Tennessee buried in there,
uh-huh.
too.
Yeah, no. Just throwing that in there because, I think at one point, Ryan, this is very focused, and then suddenly he's like, you know, when Richard Pryor talks about shooting a car and he goes, well, I shot the other tire because it got good to me. That's what he does. He's just grabbing things and throwing stuff off of the balcony.
They said I couldn't make any babies and I made several.
Yes. Good ones. Three good ones.
I just realized what else this speech is pulling from. And this may be a deeper cut, but this is the excuse me, officer. He's my dad speech from Troop Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Mm. And at the end, and she finishes delivering her dad's resume and she turns to her father and goes, now, daddy, shake the man's hand and let's be on our way.
The other point that Tyler raises here is about Dabo's stubbornness about, you know, not changing with the times, you know, is very clear. It's very clear that this season could have gone better had he made use of the transfer portal that everyone else in college football is using. But Dabo believed that the Dabo system was too good and doesn't need it, right? And that's sort of a thing that Tyler is like talking around and talking his way toward. And like that mention of, you know, the refusal to accept. That's the last thing Tyler got out before Dabo went off. And like the reference to pride coming before a fall. Yeah, it's pride. It's pride in the Dabo method. I don't need players from elsewhere. I'm the one who, you know, I'm the one who has figured out college football in a way no one else has. And it's me, my system, and like everyone else is just slapping together scraps.
The other thing that sets him off is the accusations that nobody on the coaching staff has experience outside Clemson, which also really sets him off. In fact, you can go back and you can look. That's where he starts to say, I'm sure you're a good person. That's when he mentions hiring Tony Elliott.
Yeah.
Right? That's when things really start to get off because that gets to, hey, Dabo, you're hiring a bunch of flunkies. You're hiring a bunch of dudes who've only been in your program. Which isn't exactly true. They hired an outside offensive coordinator, but albeit
after what?
After years of struggle on that front, they finally
and may or may not be letting him run his offense. Who's to say?
Correct, correct. There's some mystery about that as well. But
is mystery the word?
Ambiguity,
like a child's mystery.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Like, yeah. like putting
like
your
the monster
your,
at the end of this book.
Like you're putting your hand over your own eyes and like can't see me.
Yeah. There's a little glove in the Clemson football book that looks like a monster, right?
I don't
and you
know about this.
It goes through the book and you read it.
Scary.
And it goes blah blah blah.
That's right.
Huh. Yeah, but most of these guys on the staff are relatively inexperienced when you look at other major programs. This is very much not just a kind of Clemson dudes club. It is some people who are relatively novice. And that's something Clemson fans have noticed. And it might also be a sticking point in particular, because you'd be very sore about this if you'd noticed that the development of skilled players, particularly on offense, had come to a screeching halt over the past 3 or 4 years after having a chain of dudes who all get drafted in the NFL and all do well. Yeah, might have lined up with the departure of several key assistants. Yeah.
Well, and the refusal to replenish by any means other than mm-hmm. the stuff that worked 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. So, extra heat applied there. That's when he starts to go off and say, "Hey, I was the lowest paid guy, and I'm here because I worked my ass off.
Lowest paid guy, and I'm here to say," he's kind of doing like, he's doing T-Pain rap.
Yeah.
Doot, 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 doot.
In the park.
The tension between, like, I don't think Dabo actually, maybe he does, I shouldn't say that, but like the whole expectation versus appreciation thing, like I think that has to just be naivete at best. Like, I don't think you can be a head football coach at a Power 5 program like Clemson for this long and have gotten there having seen like how things went under his predecessor and what got him out. And then be shocked when people are mad that you're 4-4 and they're not just like, if you want a job.
Except he's not really shocked. He's just mad.
If you want a job where you can sort of play up appreciation and say, like, look at what I have done in the past and appreciate that, go into the arts. Go into, like, you can be a musician and be like, look, I put out 20 years of great music, and it doesn't matter if I put out a great album this year. You can still think that I'm awesome.
And if
coaching doesn't work, people are like calling for Bill Belichick's head. In New England. And if he can't be appreciated, like, it's a false dichotomy is what it is. It's the idea that you either appreciate me because you're not stuck with this every year, or you have unjust expectations.
This idea that, like, you must value me based on what happened in previous years. Okay, you were already paid for those previous years. What you were paid for right now is what you were doing this year. The rest of your contract is for future years. If these years are not up to the standard of those old years, then you're not doing your job.
It also, like, I can't say this with a supreme amount of confidence, but I don't think Clemson fans have been, we need to burn the building down over the last couple of years.
Well, we have one here. Let's ask him.
Okay, Serber, do you think, like, Clemson fans have been relatively chill about the last couple of years being quote-unquote down when you're still winning double-digit games, you're just not making it to the playoff, you're still, you know, one of the best teams in the ACC, if not the best. Like, have they handled that in relative stride?
Yeah, and that's the fucking problem, because the warning signs for what has happened this year have been there and been coming. And just now, that's why I'm somewhat exhausted with this season, is because just now I hear everybody saying the shit that all the people that I've been listening, like, felt all the problems that Clemson is having on offense right now, Michael Felder has been spelling out for us since 2019. Mm-hmm. He's been telling us what is wrong, why they don't look the same, why they're not going to win the national championship, and it's all come to roost this year, and now finally everyone's saying these things. It's like, yeah, man, no shit, that's what we were trying to say. That, like, and I think the thing also is, no one really wants to meet. And here, I'll say this. I don't doubt that Dabo is right, that he can use his guys to build a successful program, because he's done it before. The problem that Dabo is facing right now is that he has to understand that it's not going to work every single fucking time. Like, Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott are Clemson guys from the program, came in and did an excellent job with the offense. And Jeff Scott, particularly on the recruiting trail, if you look back at all the big recruiting wins for Clemson over their run, a lot of them have to do with either Brent Venables or Jeff Scott. And Jeff Scott even working with Brent Venables sometimes. So, both of those guys worked out just fine. I think the argument now is just that maybe let's accept that Tyler Grissom and CJ Spiller, whose position groups have seen a drop-off, correlate directly with their hiring and replacement of these other guys, may just say that, like, these might not be the guys. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also worth noting, before Jeff Scott or Tony Elliott had any position of power within the Clemson program as a position coach, they spent a lot of time on staff doing other things. They didn't just jump right up into the role, whereas literally C.J. Spiller goes from assistant, graduate assistant, to running back coach right away. Tyler Grissom, graduate assistant, to wide receivers coach right away. And then the position group drops off, and we have to hear Dabo saying, well, it's just sometimes the players got to do it. Well, like, the players continue to not do it, and it's all the players who are not doing it. So at a certain point, yes, I blame the players for not pulling it off, but, like, man, there's a thread here that's underlying for all of these, and it's that the same guy's telling them what to do, and they're all fucking up. And I think that no one has been saying that for the past couple years. People have been saying, oh, well, you know, just one, and it's the same shit that Dabo's saying this year. One play here or there, and we're undefeated, and we're playing for the playoff. And it's like, yeah, but it's really not one play here or there, because the Clemson teams that won national championships and made it to the playoff didn't need just one play to go their way. They had a ton of plays go their way.
Right.
They beat the shit out of everyone
with Miami and Duke.
No,
like, they were just like, now we beat those teams by 30.
Yeah, Clemson would have a rough start to the season, play a few close games, and then the final 7 to 8 games would just go under the radar of, like, anyone's opinion, sneak into the top four because they didn't lose, and just beat teams by 30 that had zero pulse whatsoever.
Right. Right.
Well, the rest of the ACC is a little bit better because the transfer portal now exists, and it's not a team, like, everyone's not constantly rebuilding in the Coastal Division anymore. Like, people are getting guys who can come in and play right away and contribute and make teams like Louisville great all of a sudden. Like, or make a team like Georgia Tech have a pulse all of a sudden that couldn't touch anyone and now just beat a top 25 North Carolina team.
Georgia Tech's a real interesting one to mention, because the thing that has given them at least some life in what was supposed to be a dismal season, and one where they are still, by the way, record's not great. They've had some big wins. They've had some horrendous losses, right? They're better than I think most people expected them to be. Mm-hmm. But they got a quarterback. They went and got a quarterback. And that's something that Clemson was able to, I think, across that, like, Jeff Scott, Tony Elliott period, they papered over a lot of their weaknesses with great quarterback play. They really did, especially like Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence did that thing sometimes where you're like, man, their offense looks like ass. Oh, he just ran for 70 yards. That's just something he could do, and he just fixed it. That allowed, I think, a lot of maybe the declining quality across the board to slide, because they had that dude at quarterback.
The thing I keep coming back to that I think is the biggest loser in taking Dabo's side, if that's the thing you want to do. When you say to a fan, you are part of the problem, that's insane to me. Yep. That's such loser bullshit talk, because the fans, the only way you can make an argument that the fans are part of the problem is if they're not showing up, if you're not getting the resources that you need, if they are, like, being incredibly hostile to your players, shit that is not happening at Clemson. Like, to turn it around, basically what Dabo is telling this person, what Dabo's telling Tyler is, the problem is that you care too much. And that's a crazy fucking thing to say. I think that's such a loser argument and such a bad piece of salesmanship that you just don't have to, you don't have to own goal that. You don't have to say the problem is that you, Clemson fans, want too much. You want this too, Dabo. This is why you feel justified getting paid $11.5 million, not just because of what you have done, but because you understand that that comes with an expectation for what you will do.
And some of y'all listening to this may not be old enough to remember, but if you, this was extremely Dabo's shtick in early Clemson days too. Before they started winning, he has always reacted like this to adversity. We had a 3-year running gag on EDSBS where we photoshopped a binky into his mouth because he was fucking always whining about something. And he has since experienced the greatest highs of this sport, and nowhere near the greatest lows of this sport, by the way. And neither of those experiences appears to have bought him an ounce of grace.
So, about that grace, there's a point here where I believe he goes from the messaging that Ryan was talking about, the pinpoint accuracy of a case well made for his ability to coach his team and take them places Clemson has never gone before. And it starts shortly after the sensitive point of his hiring and his salary are brought up. And it's about right here where he goes, where he says, "Am I perfect? No, I'm far from it. Now we're just going to kitchen sink it. Okay. I'm a man of faith." Whatever. Sure. It's got nothing to do with your ability to coach football. "I'm 53 years old. Now we're just reading your driver's."
Hang on. I'm going to see who else is 53 years old. Keep going.
"Sure. Now we're just reading your driver's license, right? I've been a part of failure many times, but there ain't one thing in my life I've ever failed at.
I'm an organ donor.
I don't know, Dad. Right. No, I was at your lunch bowl.
I wear corrective lenses.
Oh, holy
but
shit.
But only at night.
I am 5'11".
Class C license.
"Full disclosure, there is no way I'm 175 pounds at this point in the season. Bloat is real.
My license expires in 6 years, but I'm not going to let it get that far.
Because I've been a part of failure, but I've never failed at anything."
Y'all are not going to believe some of these people who are 53 years old.
Give me your top three.
Matt Damon.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Also a part of failure, crypto baby. Mm-hmm. And we bought a zoo.
It's more of like, hey, I can't believe easy. These people. It's not so much.
Okay. Yeah.
It's hard to believe Matt Damon is 53, but it also, like, if I told you Matt Damon and Christopher Nolan and Andre Agassi were all the same age, would that confuse you?
Whoa, that is weird.
How about, okay, all the same age. Heather Graham, Simon Pegg, Octavia Spencer.
Okay.
Sure.
War no, Eagle? Yeah, okay. Let's check.
Ellen Pompeo, Minnie Driver, Naomi Campbell.
Naomi Campbell looks like she's 30, so well, no.
Yeah, that's okay. Like her job. Okay, who else? Okay, here's one. Nick Offerman and Aisha Tyler are the same age.
Isn't Nick Offerman also the same age as Jared Leto?
Yeah, Jared Leto's 50 plus.
I haven't gotten down to Jared. Jared Leto, I can't accept that. I watched My So-Called Life as a child, sorry.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But that's the point where Dabo just starts grabbing stuff off the sink, right?
Dabo is the same age as Bobby Cannavale, and Bobby Cannavale would never pull this shit. I feel so confident.
He wouldn't.
That.
Says that, you know, I like this. By the way, there's a bar in Clemson, a restaurant and bar that put up on their marquee.
Hey, Dabo, you want to know a rich Dabo person got who's 53 degrees. Who I haven't heard from today? Mackenzie Scott. Go find a boys club.
Yeah. He got 2 degrees. I did it. There's this recitation of things that I don't understand. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you're telling me that.
Linus Torvalds is only 53?
Don't want to tell you I've raised 3 great sons. This has nothing. You're just skidding all over the track at this point.
None of it is an answer. Like, to be very clear, none of it is an answer to the express and implied questions inherent in what Tyler is saying. Like, it's all just, how dare you come to me with this bullshit? And you can say that. You can say, like, I don't have to listen to you. But you do look like an asshole when you do it.
Yeah, and there's a word here that pops up, like, 60 times in the span of, like, 3 paragraphs, and it's I. And that, to me, is the weakest part of it, because Dabo has to sit there as the guy who's supposed to represent the whole program, and at no point has he talked about we or accountability. He's basically saying, I've done all of these wonderful things, and how dare you accuse me of failing at any of them.
Okay, this actually might be, like, an astrological thing, because Phil Mickelson, as it turns out, is also 53.
But Phil Mickelson owns his failures.
I've been a part of failure. I am a failure. And I've done a zillion failures.
And I'd like you to be a part of it, too.
I don't know if you can always afford. Yeah, yeah. So what Dabo is doing when he's listing off these other biological facts, right? These are things that he is used to espousing as evidence that he is blessed and highly favored. I have this great household. Mm-hmm. Look at all these elements of my life that are in place because I'm doing things the right way. And
because
he's
I'm
used
a good
to that
person.
Going to,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm good at my job. Therefore, I'm a good person. I have procreated. Therefore, I'm a good person. All of these things are evidence in favor. And like, he's used to this shit all hitting, and he's used to hearing it about himself. He's used to being introduced as a great father, husband, patriot, coach, right? So like, all of this shit for him all builds to stop telling me I'm not worth what they that big number, right? because how could I not be worth that big number? I have done all the things, all the life things that you're supposed to do.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Desmond Howard is 53. He's on TV talking more than Dabo. I don't hear him talking this shit.
Yeah, his playoff picks are wild enough that they might qualify.
That's the thing that
Sadiq Khan is 53. He's just over there running London.
Like I don't understand about all of this too is, you know, I think for anybody who has spent enough time on the internet,
I'm sorry, we need to stop and talk about Sadiq Khan's birthplace. Tooting.
Oh, he's from Tooting. Okay.
Tooting, South Carolina.
He has also been praised for promoting tolerance, reducing polluting vehicles in London. This is an amazing Alabama.
That's lowering the amount of automotive tooting.
That is the point, yes. This is an amazing Alabama England. Fred Durst is 53. Sorry, this is what we're doing for the rest of the show. All right, fine. I've reached the peak 53-year-olds amongst against which everyone is compared. Raul Esparza and Audra McDonald. The rest of you need to try harder.
Okay. I don't even think this made Dabo feel better is the worst part.
No. Oh, definitely not.
No he's stewing.
I don't think this was cathartic.
No, because like now look at what he's got to do.
That house that his kids begged for and just strangle every living thing he finds in it.
His options now are to be the person worthy of appreciation that he is presenting and like not improve his football program or to change his ways. There are things he needs to change. We've mentioned several about the roster and his hiring practices and all that. And if he does that, what has he done? He's admitted Tyler from Spartanburg was right. Neither of those is a fun option.
Because that's the other thing here. Tyler's right.
I mean, let's. Tyler's call was deranged, but not without.
But hey, it's also a sports radio calling show. Yeah. Phone call. Like, they're all deranged in their own way.
I just want to know, by the way, what was the smoke screen? Like, how did Tyler get this past the call screener? What did he say? Like,
I got a question for Coach about faith.
I just want to talk to Coach about a verse in Proverbs.
Yes. Yeah. I think that was probably
Yes, 100%. I'm a former troop who wants to talk about a Bible verse. Fast fucking track directly through.
Holy shit, you can have access to his email with that.
Yeah.
How dare you speak to a veteran this way, Dabo?
Yeah, come on, Dabo.
To the troop, no less.
On a holiday meant to honor our brave men and women overseas. Halloween.
I think right, like
let's game this out. How would you guys have responded to Tyler?
I think you just no sell it, right?
Yeah, no sell it. Because here's the thing. He loses because he invoked the haters defense. Anytime you go, well, you know what? There's a lot of haters in this world. And those haters just want to destroy things. So that means they've already won. You already entertained them.
Like, isn't the perfect answer do what Saban would do, which is basically either have some fun with it, as he's done, or say, like, well, we have a very high standard here, and we're going to work very hard to get back to it.
You know, we're just worried about the last four games of the season. Got a lot a lot of tough teams left on the schedule. Mm-hmm.
Very proud of how hard our young men are working in practice to improve, and we, you know, it's ultimately it's on me to get it correct. All that bullshit, and nobody would ever even know any of this happened.
You have the producer hang up on Tyler in the background, and then you start talking about how much you appreciate the passion of Tyler and all your great Clemson fans. This is not hard.
I know what Paul does. Do you want to know what Paul finds?
Oh, the trick of having the producer hang up on them while you're talking, so you can't hear him.
Having run enough of these shows, that's I don't want to throw a producer of this show under the bus.
It's not 101, but it's 102.
Yeah, like, I've done this for Georgia. I've done this for Mississippi. I've done this for Florida State. I've done this on the big call-in shows. Like, hang up the fucking phone, dude. Why are you letting this? Like, as soon as the guy mentions Dabo's salary and you don't drop him, at that point, you're just not doing your job. Or you're like saboteur on the inside, like setting this up. You're like, all right, yep, this is what you wanted and you're willing to
get thrown off the show. Two Tylers here, and one of them has the finger on the button.
Yeah.
You two are sick of Dabo's shit. How will you respond?
You know who that operator was? The actual producer is bound and gagged in the corner in chloroform. And Connor Stallions is sitting there like,
destabilized.
We're gonna get
disrupt.
There. We're gonna get there. But like, Holly is right. This is not the hardest minefield you will encounter. And my main takeaway from this exchange is I really don't think Dabo should ever get the Alabama job.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah. That's what I was
disagree.
About to
say. Like,
this, you would this never is, survive.
This is
long.
A very bad season for Clemson. Like, the list of coaches who have gone 4-4 in a season of their recent set is, like, some guys that either the first or last year of their career, or Tommy Bowden a bunch, who you know why they didn't want Tommy Bowden there anymore. And, like, I understand that this may be very stressful for you, but this is the kind of shit you will get at
weekly.
There are schools you'll get yelled at for not winning by enough.
There are Tennessee is going to yell at you. Tennessee is going to yell at Josh Heupel this week because they didn't wear orange fucking pants.
Right.
They had a weird uniform.
This is, I think, very indicative of the little bubble that a Clemson coach who's successful lives in, because
he has more than it's geography plays a big thing here too. There's not Auburn is close, but even Auburn has Alabama kind of right there to keep it in check. South Carolina's isolated media plays a huge part in how Dabo plays nationally.
Like, kudos to Alabama. I know that they are a program who has more than their share of people who will 100% just ask the question Nick wants to hear. But Nick has gotten off a number of heaters over the years because a lot of people in that press corps ask pointed questions of Nick. It happens. They don't really shy away from it.
Volumetrically, there's more Alabama beat writers.
I mean,
than there are in South Carolina.
I know he does the NFL bit, but if you go back in the logs, Ian Rappaport has some hilarious exchanges with Nick where he's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck, Nick. Answer this question. Nick's like, fuck you. It's great. That wouldn't fly at Clemson for 3 minutes. Mm-mm.
Like, to be clear, we're not saying, like, coaches shouldn't emote and coaches shouldn't be honest and, like, coach, you know, if like, you're pushed, you can't push back and all that shit. But Dabo went way beyond and, like revealed more insecurity than anything else, I think. Mm-hmm.
The other way to play this, I think you can have fun with it, you can no-sell it, or you can steer into it and just be like, I'm more frustrated than anyone.
Yeah.
I am accustomed to us performing at a certain level. And as the person in charge of it, as the person who is the face and the primary expense outlay for this program, like, Tyler, if you think you're mad, imagine how I feel. And don't take it out on the fan. Mm-hmm. Get in the pit with him. Like, it's just, oh,
man. There are multiple ways. I'm really glad you said the thing about the Bama thing, because that's what I was also building to. Not in a way of saying that, oh, this clearly shows that Dabo is unqualified for Bama. Dabo has shown us time and again over the entire course of his coaching career that he would be fucking miserable at Bama.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not even really concerned at this point about whether he would do the job. He would be deeply unhappy. And probably not that much richer.
I haven't thought about this in any detail, but, like, how much of both the Clemson backslide and Dabo's sort of, like, increasing friction publicly, how much of that has to do with Dan Radakovich going to Miami and not being there with him at Clemson anymore?
100%, because the last time that he was really threatened at Clemson, he got saved by the AD's mercy, okay? I believe that was year 3.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they brought him in the office. He thought he was going to get fired. And they extended him. That was the last time that, like, the blade hung over his head. Mm-hmm. Right? But he knew that athletic director and things were fine. Things are changing. These are going to be strangers he's going to be involved with who are going to decide, help decide the fate of the program. And I think it's pretty clear if you listen to this and to anything else he said in the past 2 or 3 years that he is firmly in L'Etat Bois territory when it comes to what he thinks Clemson is. He's the program.
Dabo the Dauphin.
Right? Like, go back and look. Like, y'all haven't won anything in 35 years, and then I became the program. Like, that's...
This is really what set up. We haven't even hit the part that what I think was the meanest part in there where he compared him to a Bowden.
Yeah, which honestly, that would
that might have put me.
I would have been telling you all my PRs.
If you compared me to Tommy Bowden, I would have dove through the fuck.
That's the only unfair thing he said. Really, it's the only thing that's not.
He almost crosses over the line of like, look at all your other precious coaches that I have been better than. He doesn't come out and say that, but he goes to the list and he's like, he had a
Coach
bad year.
Coach Ford?
This guy had a bad year. Coach K, for some reason, we're talking
sure.
about.
We're thinking
that.
Again,
no,
we're
that is an insight into how he feels about himself, I think. Yeah. Oh, it's worth noting. Yeah. Yeah. He views himself in the same light as Coach K. Yeah. I think it's fair for him to view himself in the same light as Frank Howard and Danny Ford. 100%. Sure. Frank Howard never even won a national championship at Clemson. And Danny Ford's time there, while successful, was marred by scandal. So,
he's just playing his own little Petey Pablo game.
He
off
thinks he's Coach K.
Yeah.
He thinks he's Coach K.
Right. Okay.
No, I thought he was just grabbing like North Carolina superlatives. He's like, doesn't Bojangles put out a bad meal?
Huh? We're back to Petey Pablo.
Yes. Yeah.
You've been to cookout at 2 p.m. You know what's there.
Yeah.
You know what he should have done? He should have said, here are all the South Carolina Gamecock coaches that I am way fucking better than.
And, all right. So now everyone's cheering. Great.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Ryan, you said Clemson backslide. Yep. That's the right term. Spencer, when you mentioned the whole like 35 years we were nothing until I showed up, that is very much God's anointing fell on this program. Coincidentally, it happened when I showed up. These things are independent events. I have no control over when God's anointing shows up. Just so happens I'm the guy who is here along with it. And if I were to leave, would God also leave? Who's to judge? Who's to say?
If you don't pay me $11 million a year, the crops won't come in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing about this dialogue or this monologue confirms anything but this for me, that he's a dead ender. He's never coaching anywhere else. He thinks he's the program.
But he also is very clear. He's like, I'll leave.
I'll leave.
I think I agree that it feels very empty, but I think there is an element of like, again, going back to the I part of it, it's like, you can put me anywhere and I will do this shit again.
And that is so not true.
And
oh my God.
I think like the number of coaches for whom that has been true is breathtakingly small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like
one hand.
I mean, I can name them. Nick, right? Saban did it. That's someone did it. Urban Meyer did it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Finite.
Right. And note the level
I will
of
say the only,
note the level of second job we're talking about there, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Yeah. Name like, a guy like honestly, and name people who have even been good at two schools.
Howard
like, really
Schnellenberger's
good.
Been good at two schools, but, and then he flamed out at Oklahoma.
Yeah, he did.
Bear Bryant was fine.
I think.
Yeah,
that's pretty
you have
good.
To go
that's
real high take. Up on the tree.
Like
right?
like Brian Kelly might. Brian Kelly's been good at two schools.
Let's put a pin in that.
Yeah, he's been good. We can say good.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
sure.
fair.
He's been one of the teams.
He's been
historically
adequate to above average at two different schools. Sure.
Sure.
Hmm.
Sure.
It's Nick Saban and Urban Meyer the only two, right?
Pete Carroll at the University of Seahawks. Pete.
Recent champions. Is that what you're saying?
If we count that, yeah.
Okay, Chip. We got it. But even not.
I don't think so.
Not even touching the.
Yeah, I mean that's just
Mac.
Like,
I was thinking Chip is in marquee job to marquee job.
Mac to me is the
Tulane
best
in Texas.
Mac to me is like. What Mac?
His first stint at Carolina was
His first stint at Carolina
it wasn't,
was real good.
It was really good, but it wasn't great.
It wasn't incredible. It's not. What,
no, but
that's
he has
not what Dabo's getting
but,
at.
But he has a title. He has a title, and sure. he's been good at two schools. So.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, and that run, that Texas run, that feels closest to Clemson's run to me. Like, Texas is right there for a second title. They're, like, real close. You know, they didn't quite hit on quarterbacks quite the same way Clemson did. I think Clemson was better overall, but that's the run. Like, if you had to slot it, like, I'd put Clemson right there, and then underneath it is, like, Mac Brown's Texas.
Mac Brown is very much the same. Like, talking about sort of, like, kind of whiny and loves to sort of trot out some bullshit about why it's not, like, this feels very Mac Brown. And I think we will, I think it is more likely that we will look back on Dabo as a, like, luxury version of Mac Brown, where we'll say, like, achieved more, ooh, did better, but ultimately, like, sort of fell into that category of, like, what if Mac Brown had won another title?
I just see, like, an 80s luxury car when so you say, like, the luxury Mac, right, the luxury Mac Brown.
You know how there will the be, like, manufacturers that they're, like, they make the same car, but this one's the Mercury.
Yeah, super nicer. Yeah.
Store
those,
brand.
One of those vans that has the velvet drapes and the VCR.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. This is the Oldsmobile.
Did you know Trader Joe's sells Dabo Swinney as Mac Brown?
Yeah, you could, but you know, you can just get Dabo Swinney at Aldi.
We have Dabo at
Dinted
all.
Dabo.
It's the same.
Dabu.
Yeah.
And like, ultimately, it's so stupid anyway, because it's just like, nobody's going to care as long as you get good again. Like, in the same way that, like, people don't appreciate what you've already done, if you turn around and fix it within 2 years, nobody's going to care about the four-loss season. Nobody's going to give a single shit about it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a four-loss season, though.
Okay. As of today, it's a four-loss season.
Four plus.
The other thing is, I think Dabo is somehow underselling exactly how bad this year has been. And I think that's a really big mistake, frankly.
Like, it's so bad that the long-term concerns are extremely obvious.
Maybe it's just it's been an extremely, their fumble luck has been terrible. They've been weirdly bad in the red zone. You know, like, there are things you can point to say maybe these things do not repeat. But at the very least, I think you sort of have to, when you answer this question, you have to step back and say, like, yeah, this is the first season where we, even in the, like, most analytically oriented perspective, we're playing like a barely top 25 team. And that's not what people have come to expect. Like, we are playing like the teams that are beating us. We're playing like rebuilding Miami and perpetually 8-win NC State. Like, that's what we look like. And that's not what people have come to expect or appreciate about Clemson.
I do think Dabo should have shat on NC State. That would have been a good idea.
Listen, Dave Doran's ready to fight. I don't think that's the move.
Dave Doran's listening.
Let's get some action.
Yeah, Dave Doran's sitting there like the Stasi, right? Like, he's got all the phones tapped. He's
got Dave one Doran ear. Is the one who took out the producer.
That's right.
Dave Doran's in the booth.
Let him talk. Let him talk.
Say your piece, Tyler.
Say your piece. Then I'll give you two pieces.
It's so much money to just take a little bit of shit from people.
It is. Like, that's what it, like, do you come around, like,
to fully listen?
Have you ever seen somebody be really mean to, like, a server at a restaurant or a cashier somewhere? Like, they got to do that shit for no money. You got to take one mean phone call for $11 million. Fuck off.
And it wasn't even mean.
There's a lot of that's what the money's for here.
Yes.
A lot of that. Yes. Like, that's what the money's for. You know, that's what, honestly, man, that's, again, this is why Nick plays it great, because he's like, oh, I don't know, I still get paid.
I mean, Spencer, I think that scene literally is like, the appreciation is the money. That is the actual Madman scene, right?
Mm-hmm. I think Jason is right, ultimately, that, like, so much of Dabo's sense of worth, not financial, but personal and emotional, is caught up in how much he's paid, that he's on this sort of pedestal, how much he's accomplished, that for people, when people attack it, he can't detach it from, like, yeah, $11 million is a lot of money to go 4-4. That's true. That's a very good point. It becomes, like, intensely personal, and it has to become, like, I'm a good dad.
Mm-hmm.
This was the same. This was when Mike Gundy went off the rails. Remember, like, when Mike.
But that was because he was defending a player.
Well, right. There was at least a better motivation for that. But what happens is you start grabbing everything because you've right. hit a point of insecurity
yes.
so deep
sure.
that at one point you have to remind people of your basic status, right? Like, yeah, I'm 53. I'm standing here on Earth.
I drive a Dodge Stratus.
I drive it. Yeah, you just have to like start.
10 fingers, 10 toes, just like yes. everybody right. else. You have to do it. 7 on my left foot, 3 on my right.
I won the 5th grade spelling bee, and it was hard.
Yeah, exactly, right? I've never failed!
Gabbo, I was at your first Orange Bowl. That's not entirely true.
I was a part of that failure.
But I yeah. never failed.
What does that mean? That means everyone around me failed?
The Titanic sank, not me.
Yeah, and this is, by the way, like, this is...
This is the longest cold open we've ever done.
Just swim. I'm succeeding. I found a nice piece of wreckage. I'm 53 on this wreckage right now.
I pushed a man off a door.
Yeah.
Staying afloat is going 500.
If it, like, goddamn. You know, like, the thing.
Jack was weighing down the raft.
The great joy of not dying and aging should be in. I don't care. That should be the consolation for you. Getting $11 million a year and living past the age of 50, you should be pretty good even if you're going through a bad time at work. That's not what this sounds like.
I mean, Dabo also doesn't want a coach at the school that feels the way he wants Clemson fans to feel. Like, Kentucky is an example we use, and I don't think we're going to piss Kentucky fans off by saying this, but part of why Mark Stoops has such a good job is that the expectations are super achievable and super normal. And it's not because Kentucky fans don't care about football. It's because basketball is where they put all their crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Dabo doesn't want to go, like, if you said, okay, Dabo, you can go have the Kentucky job right now with the exact same expectations that come with it and the salary that comes with it, he wouldn't take it. Like, these guys are all achievement monsters and, like, must push yourself and strive for greatness in everything, but then get mad when that attitude is reflected by the environment that they have created. And that's insane. Like, either you can't say, like, I love work-life balance, but god damn it, I'm gonna crush life every goddamn day.
Yeah, it, like, it ultimately,
I painted many models. I can bench press 275 pounds.
They said I couldn't have any orcs. I have dozens.
I have many. I walk 10,000 steps a day on average.
I would have liked this rant so much better if there had been a 2-minute interlude on the D&D character Dabo created 20 years ago and how he's nurtured this druid over the years and learned so many spells and gone on so many adventures.
I roll a cleric clad in only the most exotic leathers.
Probably paladin, but yeah.
Like, yeah, he would be a paladin. That's right, yeah. Herman. Yeah. So is that 2 Furman? That is a good question.
Furman, number 2 in the FCS rankings, by the way.
Furman.
That's right.
Furman,
that's higher than that's higher than Clemson.
That stink
best,
demo?
Best team in South Carolina.
They wear purple. That's
best,
again.
Best purple team in South Carolina.
Best purple team.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it. Why do you, like, of all the, like, the last point? Why you want to stick out like a sore thumb in a year like this? Unless you think you're the program, you just keep it institutional, buddy. Just be like, hey, we're gonna reboot. Also, one other thing.
Yeah, just
sorry.
Be like Shane Beamer. Just kick some shit and break your foot. Like, that's shit. Super relatable.
That is so. That's yeah.
When someone asks how you're doing,
he
you're
lost,
like,
he
shit,
lost
buddy.
Zero cachet for doing
right.
that.
Yeah, we're getting our ass beat.
Because everybody has fucking been there.
I think Shane Beamer is. The, like, one way in he's a fit in for that program is that he is like a guy who's being overwhelmed in a bar fight mid-scene. You know, when they, like, they wind up on a table and they see a beer that nobody's drinking and they go, well, I'm about to get punched again. Might as well take a sip. Right? Like, the little comic. That's right. That's Shane Beamer at South Carolina.
I forget if we said it on the After Dark or beforehand or whatever, but, like, Shane Beamer, the way he talks about his program is like, it's so hard here. We're all trying really hard. I like my players. My players are doing their best. He says all that great shit, all that great vibe shit that, like, honestly, man, if you're not going to win a national title, I'd rather have that shit than go 10-2. Mm. Certainly more than 4-4.
It's like, our pets' heads are falling off. I'm just so happy to be here.
Yeah,
I'm joking, but Jason's right.
Well, that's what. Well, ironically, that's one of real humility. That's one of real humility. Like, that's, I think, what was the most relatable.
You also, yeah, you come off. I don't think humility is that important personally, but you come off like a person.
Yeah, not.
Well, when your entire brand is based around. I am a devout man of faith or whatever you said. The humility standard for you is higher.
Yeah, it's you're the one who set that bar. Christian bootstraps. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're the one who asked for that standard.
Yeah. Let me speak for the minority here. When somebody says minority of Americans, I guess when you say I'm a man of faith, I'm like,
What does that what is that supposed to do for me, right? Like, is that supposed to tell me anything good or bad about you? That is value neutral.
I'm an HBO Max subscriber. Okay.
I drive a blue car.
I like that it's used here as kind of a replacement for no offense, but like it's like right. I'll say I'm a man of faith, and you'll say you're a man of faith, and therefore everything is theoretically ratcheted down a notch.
Yeah. I do fully
Now I'm a man of faith, but your cooking fucking sucks, Grandma.
Yeah. No offense, right? It's like, and there's no offense, but
hit by Nick Castellanos. We need to splice that into the Dabo rant.
I'm a man of faith, but all your kids smell like swamp ass. No, it's not but, it's and. Hey, listen, I'm a man of faith, and all your kids smell like swamp ass. That's using the faith to bolster the argument. He's using the wrong conjunction here.
Yeah. But like, it should have all been the next sentence, which is, you ain't got to talk to me like I'm 12 years old. That's fine. That's fine. That's the most acceptable sentiment in all of this. Just to be like, yeah, man, I don't have to do this.
Jesus.
By the way, last four games. I do want to mention their last four games because they're funnier to mention now after we've talked about this. Okay.
Do you want to do the welcome first?
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Here, an hour and 10 minutes in.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Coors Light. Coors Light.
The previous hour was also brought to you by Coors Light.
Dabo, maybe crack a couple.
Dabo, if you're allowed to chill, this is the way to do it.
I drink beer.
You need
I
to
weigh
chill.
180
Tyler,
pounds.
Tyler's the one need to chill.
Tyler, is your can blue?
Dabo and Tyler, sure, maybe crack a few together as men of faith.
Yeah. We could have a little summit.
I own a Blackstone grill, and I've used it 3 times. I make omelets.
I played Mass Effect 1, but not 2.
Mm-hmm. Was I horny for the aliens? Mind your own business.
That's the point of the game. Why wouldn't I be?
This is making Dabo strangely likable.
I know. He's just getting more like. See, this is what he should have talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He should have gone full Kenny Powers. He should have been like, I got 2 jet skis. Tyler, do you even have 1?
He's so fucking close.
You're so goddamn
close.
He's so close, Tyler.
To doing that.
Like he says, I'm sure you're good at your job if you have one. Right? He doesn't say if you have one, right. But it's very much implied.
Tyler, I used to share a bed with my mom, and I'd happily share a bed with yours.
Tyler, I'm going to shabooms. He's so close to taking that road, and it would have been better than what he did.
Dabo, we're just humble shepherds over here showing you paths.
Yeah.
And I hope you take these pieces of advice in the spirit in which they were intended.
I go to Universal Studios for lunch. I don't even go on the rides. That's how rich I am.
The last 4 games.
Front seat of my car, a whole wheel well's full of butterbeer cups.
I about had a whole fucking Food Lion.
I don't even like it. I threw it all away.
I gave it all to Aldi.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not slander.
That's why they call me Dented Dabo.
I bet you shop at Ingles.
Games.
Speaking of cans, I'd like to dent. How is your mom?
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
All right. Congrats to new Clemson head coach, Holly Anderson.
When's Wanda from Spartanburg calling
him? Debo's going to call you daddy.
This now sets up a scenario where I would hear the Clemson head football coach hit Wanda up and go, like, hey, it's Wanda from Spartanburg. And Holly would be like, what up, bitch? How you doing? I would so love.
I love Wanda.
Yeah. So their last four games a month ago seemed far more winnable than they do at the moment.
I mean, the first eight did, so.
Yeah, yeah. I kept saying, like, well, you know, because I thought, oh, the weekend without looking, I was like, I thought I remember what they were. I'll look that up this week. That's, first of all, Notre Dame comes to town.
That's best two loss team in the country, Notre Dame.
And what sexy Notre Dame, Sam Hartman. So
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, vastly hotter,
dude,
than Clemson.
They're listening.
Yeah,
Notre Dame's PR staff is listening, and I'm not sure how I feel about that.
There's also that thing where people are going to be like, "All right, Notre Dame, fight for the rest of us," and Notre Dame's going to be like, "Oh, I pooped my pants." Yeah.
Notre Dame's like, historically, how has that worked out?
Oh, too much gluten. Oh,
that dragon was scary.
Yeah, so don't depend on that. That to me is still very much in game. This feels like one of those November surprises where you go, so we've decided this number 12 ranked team is in fact good because they beat Pitt. And not just because they beat Pitt, but they've improved. But I don't know.
USC, so.
Yeah, which as data points are
God,
both.
Pat Narduzzi would be an amazing USC coach. That's for another show. Keep going.
He'd be incredible. Yeah, if we score 31 points,
Pat
we've done
Narduzzi
something wrong.
With access to unlimited antiquity metaphors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck.
Let me take you deep into the wilderness with the second game remaining on their schedule on November 11th. They host Georgia Tech.
That is
good
even
fucking
week.
Luck.
Even That's, week,
yep,
Georgia
even
Tech.
Even week. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, y'all want to go?
No.
Possibly.
No.
Yeah. Then November 18th. Oh God, we were just talking about how the mirror image, the older
you
mirror image
was,
of this man.
You said it was going to get weird, and here we go.
Yep, UNC Clemson. That the all three of these games are at Clemson. However, they all involve Clemson. So yeah,
that's the only one I feel like we're going to win.
I think that's fair.
I feel good about you in that one. The other two are very dangerous, and then. The game where I think you can throw out the records because they probably deserve to be thrown out for this year, at least anyway, Clemson, South Carolina. South Carolina's
throw
bad.
The records out. Throw them at an opposing fan as hard as you can.
Throw them at Tyler. See if he's got records. He probably still does, broke ass. Doesn't even have a CD-ROM in his house like
Damn.
I do.
Damn, I got exquisite CD-ROMs. I'm surrounded
Six
by
Six changers, Tyler.
Encarta, bitch.
I bet your dumbass. I bet your dumbass is opening your
every,
folder
every
and changing
time I
CDs
pull
mid-drive.
Up to the fucking stoplight. I hop out and I walk around to my trunk and I rifle through my many Hillsong CDs to select which six, no, 12 I would
That's
most
right.
like to listen to.
That's right.
Dabo's got like one bad rap album he listens to, right?
I got Jeremy Camp back there.
It's Eminem.
You think? Oh, is Lose Yourself? You think he just listens
that's,
to Lose Yourself?
That's Christian rapper Eminem. Yes. So that's,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
KJ52 is that rapper? Seven of you know what I'm talking about. I love you all.
It's really good.
Vomit on his sweater vest.
Yeah. There's what I'm saying is that there is. I will accept any record across these last four games if you tell me that that's what they're going to do. I have. No goddamn clue, given how inconsistent they've been. Anything, any combination of 0-4 to 4-0 could happen across these last four games.
The problem is, I think with the exception of Notre Dame, I think you can beat Notre Dame close, and that will be enough to sort of be like, okay, this is a positive step forward. The other three teams, if you win, but you win like, oh, we beat them by four, and they threw a pick in the end zone at the end of the game, like, it doesn't feel like that really advances the, like, things are improving narrative, that things are getting turned around. There is, the value here is so upside down that really, I think what you want to see if you're a Clemson fan is stomp one of these teams, preferably stomp South Carolina. If you can get to the end of the year, you can beat South Carolina by 30 points. Like, that's going to make a lot of things easier for some people.
It's why we hired your broke ass in the first place. Beats Furrier.
I think, like, if you end up, say you end up 9-4, and it's like, oh, wow, they really pulled through, you know? the lingering memory of this tantrum and the like stubbornness it evinced is still going to make that feel a little bit empty. You know what I mean? Because like,
mm-hmm.
potentially, like,
unless Dabo gets mayonnaise dumped on his head at the Mayo Bowl.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
Which this is the first time Clemson's been potent, like, and they have a ways to go before they're mid, but to get to that like upper mid section of the ACC to go to that bowl, because it's always been orange, peach, or you know what's now the Pop-Tart Bowl was the Cheez-It Bowl was kind of where they were in play for, but now that they've dropped more to the middle of the pack, there's more likelihood of the Mayo Bowl, especially with the geography of that matchup.
I bet you're a Hellman's man, Tyler.
Oh, whew. Oh,
whew. Oh, that's hateful. Whew.
So what if Dabo had just said, like,
too far, man.
I just want to experience more of the ACC's bowl lineup. That's why we're doing this. What if he just said that?
I do have a bit of good news. Does anybody know who Clemson opens next season against?
Yep.
Mm-mm.
Server, share with the class.
Go dogs! Sick 'em! Ho, 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 ho!
Oh, oh.
Sorry, you doing that again. Good news for whom?
Oh, right. No.
At the Mercedes-Benz Stadium Superdome.
Oh,
thing.
The chicken flay game. All right.
Yep.
So,
But Clemson's schedule after that, complete ass for the rest of the year. Like, the home slate is not great if you're wanting to go to a home game next year. But the schedule, really not. Like, they've dodged most of the bullets in the ACC.
So they don't have to play,
like, figuratively.
Stanford and...
They do have to play Stanford, unfortunately.
Oh, right. They host Stanford. They host Stanford. They don't have to play.
But like,
they
play Stanford and SMU next year, I think.
Sure. So
not SMU.
Is it not SMU? That might have been Cal.
Duck in SMU.
So I'm just easy schedule, apparent upturn, corrections made in the offseason. That means I'm booking Garrett Riley leaves and one of Dabo's kids appointed QB coach. Got it. Just putting that on the record.
That always goes well.
Second game is App State. The second game is App State, who will probably be better next year.
Two really great ideas.
That could be 0-2.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, speaking of sons, let's briefly pay tribute to Brian Ferentz, who is on his way out as Iowa offensive coordinator.
To get fired after the least ugly week Iowa has had on offense is just particularly cruel.
Robbie Callen had the best point, which is like as soon as the 29.5 under hit for the Northwestern game, they were like, okay, fuck this. But they were like,
the line must be drawn.
They were like, we got to let him enjoy this one. He's done all this sowing to earn this 29.5 point total. It's time to, well, not reap, but.
Chris Vanini pointed this out as well, and I can't think of one. Since when do coordinators get to coach out the season when they get fired in the middle? Like, that shit never happens.
He's really bad. We're signing up for exactly this many more installments of badness.
Especially,
we've already bought them. We might as well use them.
It's like a Columbia House thing. You can cancel, but it takes like 8 weeks to
process.
Woo, that chicken's bad. Or well, we better eat all of it.
If you're not 18, the contract's not binding. Are we sure he's over 18?
It's very old-looking 16.
It could be.
Well, congratulations to Iowa fans. Now you have the specter of Kirk Ferentz having to hire a new offensive coordinator. Which
it's me. I'm doing it.
Oh God!
It could be any of us. It could be any of us.
I bet Kirk God. Was taking the job himself.
Yeah. God, imagine the horror if he's
one
just
of your
like.
Phones ring right now.
Well, I've decided I'm going to handle play calling.
I think like, the problem is I've been delegating too much over the last few years.
I just need to get my hands on this.
Just devote all my attention to that side of the ball. Can you imagine?
Dabo has an open invitation to call plays here, Iowa.
He'd line up in four wide to start, and they'd be like, oh, no, brother. No.
Gotcha.
Yeah. 1-1 personnel? No, sir. Get that shit out of here. Yeah, that now they have to do this because remember the last time they did this, it was the people who have been coordinators at Iowa include such luminary names as Kent O'Keefe and Greg Davis.
Yeah.
Greg Davis, who, remember Greg, like the taste that we're going for here, Greg Davis, when Chris Sims went to the NFL, they were like, how would you read this? And Chris Sims said, well, this play, you really want to throw the running back first. And they were like, okay, what about this play? And they're like, well, the first read is the running back. And then they're like, what about this play? And they go, you'll never believe it. The running back is the first read. It's the exact reverse of pretty much every major passing read ever. And that's the way that Kirk Ferentz was like, that fucker, I'm hiring him. He gets it.
This mentioning those Iowa OCs just makes me realize that, like, ever since that, like, 02 to 04 run when Iowa had good offenses, like the Brad Banks years, since then, like, Iowa fans have been sick of this shit for, like,
so long.
16 years, something like that. I hope they get something good, man. I hope they...
I refuse to accept the idea that scoring, like, 10 points more, that scoring, like, 28 points a game would completely disrupt the delicate ecosystem of Iowa winning 8 games a year, right? That they'd be like, no, that upsets the whole thing. This is very much an old guy who's like, don't touch the ferns on my desk. They help me think. Like, that's...
Scoring 28 a game would bring them up to 68th in the country, tied with the Florida Gators.
Yeah, baby!
So,
by the way, one of the nominees that the internet really liked in terms of potential offensive coordinators who were just as bad as Brian Ferentz, John Donovan, former Penn State and Washington offensive coordinator, a.k.a. the Kiss of Death. John Donovan, who is now an offensive analyst where? That's right, the University of Florida.
Well, so is everyone.
I mean, they have like 15. It's fine.
That's true.
Are we going to talk about our sweet Connor?
It's time for this week and... espionage.
I think you mean Agent 4. Agent 4. Agent 4, your mission, if you so accept it.
Shit, man.
After intercepting the signals of every major power
in the Big Ten.
Codename Fan Arbor. Agent 4, if you accept it, your mission is to infiltrate the facility at Central Michigan. Actually, it was at Michigan State. And to appear on the sidelines wearing a Central Michigan shirt and a goatee.
Right behind their coaching staff.
On TV.
Like you are at GD Fantasy Camp. this guy's a bunny boiler.
Yeah. 100%. Do you think anyone asked him to do this? It's so stupid that if they did, that person needs to be fired too. Immediately.
Is it possible he was just doing this just to see if he could? Like, at some point, does this become that thing from Heat where it's like, the action is the juice?
If it were not for the presence...
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
If it were not for the presence of the 500-page manifesto, 600... Jason, you wrote a book.
Yeah, it's about...
Would you do it for a gas?
It's about half that size, so... My God.
Yeah, that's a big of those Google Doc. Just for funsies. Oh God, yeah. Yeah, what was he writing that thing on? I need to know.
I think it was a Google
Doc.
That's
chug.
Yeah. Oh, his the machine he used. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with Victoria Zeller, who said like, so men can't celebrate Halloween now.
That's true.
A man can't just put on a Central Michigan uniform and stand around.
Fire up chips.
If I were going to commit some sort of football espionage, I would not do it with so many television cameras involved. Because now it feels like Connor Stallions has opened... Like, the level of sleuthery that is going on for people to be like, let's go back. Like, he's fucking Michigan Waldo. Let's find him in every college football game of the last 2 years.
The Forrest Gump of Michigan. Yeah. My favorite part of it is Michigan fans online are reminding everyone that they are the best at, like, MS Paint Zapruder-ing. We haven't seen it since the Spot game.
The Spot.
2016 Ohio State, after which, like, everything on college football internet was like weirdly zoomed in and cropped and had all sorts of lines drawn on it.
The curvature of the earth suggests that actually,
this is not a joke. I genuinely forget what is our position on whether the Spot was good.
Spot was good.
It was good.
Was it good? Okay, thank you.
Spot was good.
I don't even remember what side that puts us on.
It puts us on the Ohio State.
Unfortunately,
side.
It were.
Oh, that does feel bad.
Yeah.
You can't ever just be confident that this thing is done, which is delightful. Nope.
He's out there somewhere. You can't prove a negative. You can't prove he's not there.
Like, how do you know Connor Sounds isn't in your house right now watching poop?
You can't know that.
You don't know. He painted himself to look like a toilet.
I have read Michigan fans saying that his earlobes were wrong in the photo. Mm-hmm. That couldn't possibly be him.
Yeah, there was like every part of his face. You can find a Michigan fan online saying, that's this other guy, because look at this cheekbone or Adam's apple or whatever.
Well, it's also the fun thing where Michigan fans are doing the two argument thing, where it's like, there is no way this was Connor Stallions. Here is a bunch of proof.
And therefore...
And also, we had no idea. We didn't tell him to do any of this shit.
Not only did he not do it, it's not my fault.
Let me just counter the argument with, one man couldn't have done all of this. Take A is pretty much refutes all of this. One man can do all of mm-hmm. that, okay? In terms of spree, it can happen. This is... my favorite thing when people go completely off the deep end to excuse something pretty mundane, which is that this dude was fucking nuts. Like, absolutely nuts.
My only regret is that Connor Stallions doesn't look exactly like Roger Sherman. So that Roger is going around stadiums now, everybody would be like, holy shit! He's unrepentant!
He's scouting NIIA Dynasty Northwestern, the other Northwestern.
This criminal knows no limits.
The game has no fences. It's everywhere, man. You just got to keep it going. There are no bad ideas.
I love it. That's a good attitude.
Yeah, there are no bad ideas.
That's what you say next time, all right? Next time Tyler hits you up, say, oh, thank you. Thank you, Tyler.
We got a program. Some guys got dang old Connor Scallions out there.
we got Tyler. That's who we got.
Connor, if you're listening to this, you got to know your worth. For 55 grand a year, I'm not spending an off day sneaking into a Central Michigan State game. I'm just not doing it. Like, you gotta at least get me up to 80 for that. That's just not, this is LinkedIn-ing too hard.
So I can learn the secrets, so I can learn the secrets of Jim McElwain?
so I could find a way for Michigan to defeat Michigan State.
Thank God.
It's pretty obvious.
Thank God you saved us.
Yeah. It might have been 48-0.
The best part is I know a number of Michigan fans who would have done this if that was a requirement for beating Michigan State. Some people with otherwise successful professional lives who have achieved a lot, who would have dressed up in a Central Michigan shirt to try to get Michigan State, they would have done it.
I hope the NCAA comes down and is like, we're issuing a 10-year show cause for Connor Stallions, and to become a part of a college football program again, he has to show us a second hobby. We don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. We don't care if it's particularly useful or interesting. Ooh. He just has to develop a second interest. It can't all be Michigan football.
Does every
you have
coach,
to find something
is
else.
That a, is that a test for every coach has to pass? Because we're going to have a lot
of open jobs.
On the bright side, imagine what a nightmare they would all be at adult kickball.
This is where we form our hobby consultancy. That's it. Yeah. Okay. When they do this, we form the, like, they're like, I got to lie and say I have another like hobby. And we're like, Gus Malzahn, have you ever considered orienteering?
Disc golf.
Yeah. Have you ever considered disc golf?
Dancing.
I love puzzling.
We know he's a dancer.
That's
Gus
it. Have
has,
you,
Gus has a hobby. Love, confirmed.
Flamenco
like
is in my hips.
It's like finding an alibi.
Hi, I'm Chip Kelly, and I'm here to talk to you about mixology.
Chipsology.
I'm PJ Fleck and I love blues harmonica.
Oh,
that one might
no.
be true. Man, he just bit God, clean can, through it. It was crazy. Yeah.
Can you imagine that dude on a harmonica?
Imagine
PJ, don't chew it.
Fresh metal harmonica. Like,
I just thought about the cringe that I would experience if PJ Fleck got up on stage at a bar I was at and was like, I'd like to explain my passion for the harmonica. Like, I actually, in my head, made the, like, run out of the bar. I'd have to film it to keep from dying of cringe.
Yeah, this is... Connor Stallions is a very valuable lesson in, like, you gotta have multiple things going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find yourself stooping to this level of nonsense because you just didn't have a friend to go hang out with.
Like, even Jim Harbaugh. We say Jim Harbaugh is all ball. No. You know what Jim Harbaugh...
It's weird to say this is bloggers.
Yeah. You know what Jim Harbaugh was also about? Being the cool guy.
The Pope.
That's right. Cool jock. Right?
Jim Harbaugh's secondary interest is the Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's at least something.
He likes burgers. He likes pretending to know rappers. He likes pretending to know the Pope.
Likes being a cool jock.
If Jim Harbaugh could have a burger with the Pope, that would be the best day ever for him.
And Migos, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Also taking the kids to a monument of some sort, right?
Sure.
Like, that's another... Mm-hmm. Like, he is the dad who's like, world's largest ball of twine, pull over.
World War II stuff happened at the world's largest ball of twine. Let's have a burger.
Yeah.
At least Steve Spurrier was very upfront. He's like, I'm going golfing. Fuck recruiting.
I like Spurrier would imply that people were losers if they worked too hard. He's like, what, you still in the office? Fucking loser.
This is all like, you remember when we used to get those like glowing profiles of John Gruden in the NFL would be like, he sleeps on his floor and he just eats whatever he finds there because he can't possibly stop grinding tape. And now and cut to a few years later, you're like, oh, John Gruden's a real fucked up dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, This is the fault of all of those profiles who convinced a certain type of person, like, if I just find a way to make my lungs breathe football instead of air, I will ascend to a level unknown.
They haven't stopped. Mike McDaniel, like, you know, the cool coach, right? Like, hey, I'm the guy who's, you know, I'm the millennial coach. The preview that I saw, which was, you know, like the element that was, you know, an actual story. You go, okay, well, you know, he had an alcohol problem and he got sober and he did a lot of work to make that happen. And good job. Congratulations. But guess when he was showing up at work? He was showing up at work at like 3:15.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, 3:15. So you're like, this is all very commendable. And that shit hasn't changed at all. Meanwhile, Spurrier was like, I don't know, it's 3:30. We got a game plan? Okay. Well. Seems like
game kicks in 30 minutes.
The course is a calling. Get my putting green out.